Okay, so this time you guys are really sending us down a rabbit hole. You
Yeah.
want us to deep dive into moon landing conspiracies of
Yes.
all things.
Really?
Yeah, you sent over some articles and even a book excerpt
Oh, wow.
from this guy, Bart Sabril.
Okay.
And he seems pretty convinced that we never actually went to the moon.
Interesting.
So let's see if we can sort the fact from the fiction here.
Yeah, what makes this case really interesting to me is that Sibrel
Yeah.
isn't just some random guy on the internet, with a tinfoil hat.
Right.
He's actually an award-winning filmmaker,
Oh, wow.
writer, and he's been a journalist for a long time, so he knows how to tell a story.
Yeah.
The question is he presenting a story built on facts
Right.
or just a really, really compelling narrative?
Right. And he's specifically claiming that the whole Apollo moon landing was staged.
Wow.
Like Cannon Air Force Base right here on Earth.
Okay.
He's got a whole arsenal to support his claims, a book, a film. He's even got a song.
A song.
Yeah, but the foundation of his argument seems to be this deathbed confession
Oh boy.
from a security chief at the base.
That's where the red flags start waving for me.
Yeah.
Deathbed confessions are kind of notorious in the world of conspiracy theories, that they're often presented as this like smoking gun.
Right.
But think about it. We rarely have any solid evidence to back those up. It's just one person's word, often delivered when they might not be thinking that clearly,
Yeah.
or could be easily manipulated.
That's a good point.
Remember the case of the man in the iron mask? For centuries, people believed a deathbed confession
Oh, wow.
that supposedly revealed his identity
Interesting.
turned out to be completely false.
So are you saying we should just dismiss this confession entirely?
Not necessarily dismiss it,
Okay.
but we definitely need to approach it with a healthy dose of skepticism.
Okay.
Think of it like this. If you were accused of something serious,
Yeah.
would you want your fate to hinge on a single unverifiable statement made by someone on their deathbed?
Probably not.
Probably not, right?
Right.
Extraordinary claims require extraordinary
Right.
evidence.
So far, all we have is a story. We don't have any hard proof.
Exactly.
But Sibyl does offer other bits of evidence to support his claims.
Okay.
He keeps mentioning this controversial film with classified footage that supposedly exposes the moon landing as a fake. And then there's the Moon Man song and a children's book he wrote about a fake Earth landing.
This guy's got it all.
It's like he's created a whole moon landing denial universe.
He certainly knows how to work a narrative, I'll give him that.
Yeah.
But all of this showmanship doesn't answer the basic
On
questions.
what?
Where is this supposed footage?
All right.
Has anyone outside of Sibrel's circle actually seen it
Yeah.
or verified it?
Good point.
And the language he uses, CIA hit list, sad fact, it's all designed to stir up emotion, not present a balanced factual argument. He even claims to have been poisoned by the government.
Oh, wow. So it's hard to know where the truth ends and the theatrics begin.
Okay, but he's not just relying on smoke and mirrors. He also brings up
Okay.
what seem to be some scientific arguments.
Interesting.
For example, he claims that the radiation belts around Earth are basically impossible for
Ooh.
spacecraft to travel through.
Okay.
He even cites a study from 1958 to back this up.
Yes, the
Yeah.
classic appeal to outdated science.
Right?
It's true that the Van Allen radiation belts were a concern
Yeah.
in the early days of space exploration, but you have to remember our understanding of these belts
Yeah.
and our technology for dealing with them has advanced significantly since 1958.
Of course.
For example, the Apollo missions were carefully planned to minimize exposure to radiation,
Okay.
and they used spacecraft with shielding specifically designed to protect the astronauts.
Makes sense.
And guess what?
What?
It worked.
So it seems like they knew what they were doing.
We have mountains of data from those
Yeah.
missions.
And none of it suggests that the astronauts received lethal doses of radiation.
So maybe Sibyl's picking and choosing his evidence to fit his narrative.
It's
It
possible.
wouldn't be the first time someone did that to support a conspiracy theory.
Right. And you know what's interesting is that this specific claim about the moon landing actually ties into a much larger phenomenon.
Okay.
It taps into this deep-seated distrust of authority that we see playing out in all sorts of conspiracy theories.
So it's not really about the moon landing at all.
Right.
It's about something bigger.
Exactly. It's about a fundamental skepticism
Okay.
towards institutions and official narratives.
I see.
Think about it. Why are conspiracy theories so appealing? because they offer this sense of control in a world
that
often feels chaotic and unpredictable.
Right.
They give people simple answers to complex questions.
Yeah.
And they make them feel like they're in the know,
uh-huh.
privy to information that most people aren't.
I see what you mean. It's almost like believing in a conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
Makes you feel special, like you're part of this select group that's figured it all out.
It's a very human impulse.
Yeah.
We all want to feel like we understand the world around us.
Right.
And sometimes those simple explanations, even if they're not true,
yeah.
are more comforting than facing the complexities of reality.
Well, that's certainly given me a lot to think about.
Good.
But before we go too far down that rabbit hole, let's get back to Sibrel and his specific claims.
Okay.
You mentioned earlier that his focus on government cover-ups wasn't limited to the moon landing.
Right.
His book on Planet X takes this idea even further.
Right. Let's Absolutely.
Go. Okay.
Aliens from Planet X is a whole other layer of intrigue.
Okay.
But before we jump into that, I think it's important to understand why someone like Sibrel might be drawn to these kinds of theories in the first place. So Sibrel seems to be driven by this like deep-seated belief, you know, that powerful forces are manipulating events and hiding the truth from the public. It's a common thread in a lot of conspiracy theories.
Yeah, it's easy to just dismiss conspiracy theorists as like paranoid or delusional.
Right.
But I think it's more nuanced than that.
Yeah.
There have been real cover-ups throughout history. Watergate, the Tuskegee syphilis study.
Right.
And these events erode trust.
Yeah.
And make people question official narratives.
Right.
So how do we separate genuine skepticism from unfounded paranoia?
That's the million-dollar question.
Right.
We need to approach these claims with a healthy dose of critical thinking.
Okay.
First, consider the source.
Yeah.
Who's presenting the information and what's their motivation? Are they trying to inform or entertain or sell something?
Yeah, that makes sense. You can't just take everything at face value.
Right.
So what else should we keep in mind?
Look for evidence.
Okay.
And I mean solid evidence, not just anecdotes or hearsay. Does the information presented align with what we already know about the world? Are there credible sources to support it?
Yeah.
And just as importantly, are there credible sources that contradict it?
So basically do your own research. Don't just rely on one person's interpretation of events.
Precisely. And here's something else to consider.
Okay.
Be willing to change your mind.
Okay.
None of us have all the answers.
Right.
And it's okay to admit when we're wrong or need more information.
Yeah.
That's how we learn and grow.
I like that it's about being open to new information and being willing to adjust our understanding of the world as we go along.
Exactly.
But getting back to Sibrel.
Okay.
His claims go beyond a general distrust of authority.
Right.
He really seems to be on this quest for hidden truths.
Yeah.
And his book on Aliens from Planet X is a prime example of that.
Right. Aliens from Planet X takes us into the realm of, let's just say fringe theories for those unfamiliar with this particular theory. It claims there's a hidden planet in our solar system.
Hmm.
Nibiru is what they call it.
Okay.
And it's on a collision course with Earth.
Oh, wow.
This planet is supposedly inhabited by these advanced alien beings, the Anunnaki, who have visited Earth in the past and influenced human civilization.
Hold on. So we're talking about a planet that's supposedly hurtling towards us.
Right.
And the government's covering it up.
Well, according to the theory, yes.
Where's the evidence for any of this?
That's where things get murky.
Okay.
The Planet X theory has been around for decades.
Uh-huh.
And it's been debunked repeatedly by astronomers.
Yeah.
There's simply no scientific evidence to support the existence of this rogue planet.
Okay.
But that hasn't stopped it from becoming a staple in conspiracy circles.
Yeah.
It often gets tied to doomsday prophecies and apocalyptic scenarios.
Right.
Which frankly tend to capture people's attention.
So it's basically fear-mongering dressed up as scientific theory.
You could say that, but I think it's important to understand
why people gravitate towards these ideas.
Okay. For some, it's a way to make sense of a world that feels increasingly chaotic and unpredictable.
Mm.
For others, it might be a form of escapism.
Right.
Or a way to feel like they're part of something bigger than themselves.
I can see how that would be appealing, especially in times of uncertainty or social unrest.
Exactly.
But it seems like these theories can also be dangerous.
Right.
If they lead people to make irrational decisions.
Yeah.
Or distrust legitimate sources of information.
Absolutely. That's why critical thinking is so crucial.
Right.
We need to be able to evaluate information objectively and separate fact from fiction.
Yeah.
And we need to be wary of anyone who claims to have all the answers. or who presents themselves as the sole holder of truth.
It's like Sybil claiming he's on a CIA hit list.
Right.
It just adds to the drama and makes it seem like he's uncovering something truly dangerous.
Exactly.
Even if there's no evidence to support it.
And it plays into this us versus them mentality that's so prevalent in conspiracy circles.
Right.
It creates a sense of paranoia and distrust.
Yeah.
Which can make it difficult to have open and honest conversations about these topics.
You know, it's interesting because Sybil, for all of his talk about exposing the truth,
right,
doesn't seem to present a very balanced perspective himself.
Hmm.
He focuses on these alleged cover-ups,
but
ignores any evidence that might contradict his claims.
That's a common tactic among conspiracy theorists.
Right.
They often cherry-pick evidence to fit their narrative.
Yeah.
And dismiss any information that challenges their beliefs.
Mm.
It's a form of confirmation bias.
Right.
And it can be very difficult to break through.
So what can we do?
Yeah.
How do we have a productive conversation with someone who's so dumbly entrenched in these beliefs?
Well, first and foremost, we need to approach the conversation
with
empathy and respect.
Okay.
Remember, people who believe in conspiracy theories are often doing so because they're genuinely searching for answers or trying to make sense of the world.
Right.
Shaming them or ridiculing their beliefs is unlikely to change their minds.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So instead of attacking their beliefs, focus on the evidence.
Right.
And try to have a rational discussion.
Exactly. Ask them questions about why they believe what they believe.
Nope.
What evidence have they seen?
Uh-huh.
What sources do they trust?
Right.
And then gently present alternative perspectives and evidence that might challenge their assumptions.
Okay.
But be prepared for resistance.
Yeah.
It can be very difficult to change someone's deeply held beliefs.
Right.
Especially if those beliefs are tied to their sense of identity or community.
It's almost like you're asking them to question their whole worldview.
Right.
Which can be a very threatening experience.
You're right. It's not an easy task.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to try.
All right.
Because if we can't have open and honest conversations about these topics,
yeah,
then we're all going to end up trapped in our own echo chambers, talking past each other and further dividing ourselves.
Well said. And that brings us back to Sybil and his claims.
Okay.
We've talked about his belief in government cover-ups, his focus on Planet X,
right,
and his reliance on questionable evidence.
Yeah.
But what about his core argument?
Okay.
What are the specific reasons he gives for believing the moon landing was faked?
Ah, yes. Let's dive into the heart of Sybil's argument.
Okay.
He presents several pieces of evidence that he claims prove the moon landing was a hoax.
Okay.
One of his most famous claims is the waving flag argument.
Oh, yeah. I have heard about this one.
Yeah.
It's the idea that the American flag planted on the moon appears to be waving in the wind.
Right.
Even though there's no atmosphere on the moon.
Exactly. Sybil uses this footage as proof that the landing was filmed on a soundstage with artificial wind blowing the flag.
Yeah.
But what he fails to mention is that the flag was mounted on a telescoping pole with a horizontal bar to make it fly proudly. The ripples in the flag are actually wrinkles that were caused by its folded storage during the journey to the moon.
So it's a simple explanation.
Right.
But one that Sybil conveniently ignores.
Right. What other evidence does he offer?
Well, he also points to the lack of a blast crater underneath the lunar module. The parallel shadows cast by objects on the moon, which he claims are evidence of artificial lighting.
Okay.
And the fact that no stars are visible in the photographs.
Those do sound like valid questions if you don't know the science behind it.
Right.
Exactly. But each of these claims has been debunked by scientists and space experts.
Okay.
For example, the lack of a blast crater is explained by the fact that the lunar module's engine was throttled back before landing.
Mm-hmm.
And the lunar surface itself is covered in a layer of fine dust that wouldn't have been significantly disturbed.
Okay.
The parallel shadows are simply an optical illusion caused by the perspective of the camera. And the absence of stars in the photographs is due to the exposure settings used to capture the brightly lit lunar surface.
Okay.
It's like taking a photo of a friend standing in front of a sunset. The camera will expose for the bright foreground.
Right.
And the dimmer stars in the background won't be visible.
So once again, it seems like Sybil is taking easily explained phenomena.
Yeah.
And twisting them to fit his narrative.
Right.
He's preying on people's lack of scientific knowledge
right.
to make his claims seem more convincing.
That's a key part of many conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
They thrive on misinformation and exploit knowledge gaps to create an aura of mystery and intrigue.
It feels like a magic trick.
Right.
The magician distracts you with one hand while he's doing something sneaky with the other. You're so focused on the spectacle that you don't notice the sleight of hand.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
And in the case of Sibrel, his showmanship and his carefully crafted narrative serve as the distraction.
Yeah.
He knows how to present his claims in a way that captures people's attention and feeds their skepticism.
And by the time you realize you've been fooled, you're already invested in the story, and it's hard to admit you were wrong.
Right.
It's easier to double down on your beliefs than to admit you've been misled.
That's why it's so important to be aware of these tactics and to approach these claims with a critical eye.
Right.
Don't be swayed by emotional appeals or sensationalized language.
Uh-huh.
Focus on the evidence and ask yourself,
okay,
is this information credible?
Yeah.
Does it align with what we know about the world?
Mm.
And are there alternative explanations that I'm not considering?
Well, I think we've done a pretty thorough job of unpacking Sibrel's claims.
Right.
And exploring the broader implications of conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
But before we wrap up,
okay,
is there anything else about Sibrel's work
mm-hmm.
that you find particularly interesting or noteworthy?
Yes. There's one more aspect of Sibrel's approach that I think is worth discussing.
Okay.
He often frames his quest for truth as a moral crusade, even portraying himself as a victim of persecution.
Where?
He claims to have been on a CIA hit list.
Yeah.
And he even suggests that the government is trying to silence him.
Right. That lone wolf fighting against the system persona is a common theme in conspiracy circles.
Yeah.
But is there any truth to his claims of persecution?
Well, it's difficult to say for sure. Mm. Sibrel has certainly been outspoken in his criticism of NASA and other government agencies.
Right.
And he has faced backlash for his beliefs. Huh. He's been banned from NASA events and has even been arrested for confronting astronauts.
Okay, so there's been some friction between him and the authorities.
Right.
But does that qualify as persecution?
That's where things get subjective.
Okay.
Sibrel clearly believes he's being targeted for his beliefs.
Right.
And he uses this narrative to bolster his credibility and paint himself as a martyr for the truth.
It's a clever strategy.
Right.
By portraying himself as a victim, he's able to deflect criticism and rally support from those who sympathize with his cause.
Exactly. And it taps into this broader theme of distrust in authority that we've been discussing.
Right.
When people already believe that the government is hiding something, they're more likely to believe that someone who challenges that authority is being persecuted.
So it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right.
The more Sibrel claims he's being persecuted, the more his followers believe it, and the more they distrust the authorities.
Precisely. And that's why it's so important to approach these claims with a critical eye and to separate the facts from the narrative.
Yeah.
Just because someone claims to be a victim doesn't mean they are.
Right.
And just because someone questions authority doesn't make them right.
Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive.
Yeah.
We've explored Sibrel's claims about the moon landing,
his
beliefs about Planet X, and his tactics for presenting his narrative.
Right.
What stands out to you as the most important takeaway from all of this?
I think the most important takeaway is the importance of critical thinking.
Mm.
We live in a world where information is readily available.
Right.
But not all of it is accurate or reliable.
Yeah.
We need to be able to discern fact from fiction, evaluate sources, and consider multiple perspectives.
I agree. It's not about blindly believing everything we're told.
Exactly.
Or dismissing everything that challenges the mainstream narrative.
Right.
It's about being curious, asking questions, and engaging in thoughtful, evidence-based discussions.
Exactly. And I think it's also important to remember that even though we might disagree with someone's beliefs, that doesn't mean we can't have a respectful conversation with them.
Right.
In fact, I think it's more important now than ever to bridge the divides between us and to engage in open and honest dialogue.
Well said. And on that note, I think it's time to wrap up this deep dive.
Okay.
You came to us wanting to explore the moon landing conspiracy theories.
Right.
And we certainly went down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, we did.
But I think we also uncovered some important insights about how conspiracy theories work.
Right.
Why they appeal to people.
Uh-huh.
And how we can navigate this complex world of information overload.
Absolutely. And I hope our listeners will take these insights with them.
Yeah.
And apply them to other areas of their lives as well, because critical thinking is a skill that can be used in all aspects of life, from evaluating news stories to making informed decisions.
Well said. And who knows, maybe this deep dive will inspire some of our listeners to do their own research and come to their own conclusions about the moon landing.
That would be fantastic. The more we question, the more we learn.
Right.
And the more we learn, the closer we get to understanding the truth.
So to our listeners out there, keep questioning, keep exploring, and keep diving deep. So you wanted a deep dive on the moon landing being faked. And I think it's safe to say we got one.
Yeah, we really went down the rabbit hole this time.
It's fascinating to me how this one event, this giant leap for mankind, can still spark so much debate and distrust after all these years.
It really speaks to the power of belief and the enduring appeal of a good conspiracy theory.
Right. But as we've discussed, it's crucial to approach these theories with a healthy dose of skepticism and critical thinking.
Absolutely.
It's not about just blindly accepting the official story.
Right.
But it's also not about jumping to conclusions based on flimsy evidence or sensationalized claims.
Exactly.
We have to look at the facts, consider the sources, and be willing to challenge our own biases.
I completely agree. And that's what makes these deep dives so valuable.
Yeah.
They give us a chance to step back, examine the evidence, and, you know, engage in these thoughtful, nuanced discussions.
You know, one thing that keeps coming back to me is this idea that the truth is often more complex than we want it to be.
Right.
It's tempting to believe in simple explanations, you know, in clear-cut heroes and villains.
Yeah.
But the reality is usually much messier and more ambiguous.
I think you've hit on a really crucial point.
Yeah.
The human mind craves patterns and narratives, you know?
Yeah.
We want to make sense of the world around us.
Right.
And sometimes that means creating stories that fit our preconceived notions.
Right.
Even if those stories aren't entirely accurate.
So it's like we're all amateur detectives piecing together clues and trying to solve the mystery. But sometimes we get so caught up in our own theories.
Yeah.
That we overlook the obvious or ignore evidence that doesn't fit our narrative.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important to be open to new information.
Yeah.
To be willing to revise our beliefs when presented with, you know, compelling evidence.
So what's the final verdict? Did we land on the moon?
Well, I'm not here to tell you what to believe.
Okay.
But I will say this. The overwhelming consensus among scientists, engineers, and space experts is that the Apollo missions were real.
Okay.
The evidence is there for anyone who's willing to look at it objectively.
And I think that's the key takeaway here.
Yeah.
Be curious, be skeptical, but most importantly, be informed.
Right.
Don't just accept what you're told, but don't blindly believe every conspiracy theory that comes along either.
Exactly.
Do your own research. Use your critical thinking skills.
Right.
And come to your own conclusions.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, the truth is out there.
Right.
It's up to each of us to seek it out.
And on that note, I think we've reached the end of our lunar journey.
It has been a journey.
Thanks for diving deep with us.
It's been a pleasure exploring these fascinating and sometimes unsettling ideas with you.
And to our listeners, thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Yeah.
Into the world of moon landing conspiracy theories.
It was a fun one.
Remember, keep questioning, keep learning, and keep exploring the world around you.
Absolutely.